Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive. You know, if you've ever felt stuck in relationships, maybe dating the same kind of person over and over, or getting really anxious about texts and calls, it can feel baffling, right? Today, we're diving into something that might just be the decoder ring we all need. It's Dr. Amir Levine and Rachel Heller's book, Attached: The New Science of Adult Attachment and How It Can Help You Find and Keep Love. It's pretty foundational stuff.
Absolutely. And our goal here is really to give you a kind of scientific map for your love life, you know, instead of all the guesswork and frankly, frustrating dating advice out there. This gives us predictable patterns based on adult attachment theory. And right off the bat, it really challenges that big cultural idea that, you know, being completely emotionally independent is the only way to be healthy in a relationship.
Yeah, that's a big one. Because wanting closeness often gets labeled as, well, needy, and then we try to push that need down. But Levine and Heller argue that's like fighting our own biology. And this isn't just pop psychology, it's rooted in actual neuroscience, decades of research in social psychology. So maybe talk a bit about who these authors are. Give us that credibility check.
Good point. The strength here really comes from their combined backgrounds. Dr. Amir Levine, he's a psychiatrist and a neuroscientist at Columbia. So his expertise is deep in how our brain chemistry, our actual biology, responds to connection or, you know, the lack of it. Social distance, closeness, it has real effects.
Right, the brain science part. And then Rachel Heller brings the so what factor.
Exactly. She's a social psychologist. Her focus is on relationship research, but also practical consulting. She knows how to translate that hard science from Levine into advice that people can actually use, you know?
Yeah.
Without it just being stories or anecdotes.
So they're bridging that gap
between
the serious academic stuff, people like Bowlby, Ainsworth, that kind of research.
Yeah, stuff that usually stays in journals.
And making it accessible, practical. It feels like they're validating that deep need we have for connection, saying, hey, it's okay, you're wired this way.
Precisely. It's biology, not a weakness.
Okay, so that leads us right into the main idea of attached. What's the core argument?
The big idea is that our adult romantic relationships, they run on the exact same attachment system that bonds infants to their caregivers. It's the same underlying mechanism.
Wow. Okay, so understanding that system is like finding the operating manual for your love life.
That's a great way to put it. And the science identifies three main ways this system works, three primary attachment styles. Think of them as sort of default settings for how we handle intimacy. The most common one, maybe 50, 60% of people, is secure. These folks are generally comfortable with intimacy. They can depend on others, but they're also fine with autonomy. They navigate it pretty smoothly.
Okay, secure. Makes sense. What about the others? You said about 40% are less secure?
Right, the insecure styles. Around 10 to 15% fall into the anxious category. They really crave closeness, intimacy, but they're often worried about the relationship, fear abandonment.
Right.
Their attachment system is, you know, it's easily triggered, always kind of on alert.
Okay, anxious. I think many people might recognize that feeling. And the last one?
That's avoidant. Roughly 20 to 25%. For them, the priority is independence, self-sufficiency. They tend to suppress their attachment needs, keep partners at arm's length, especially when things start getting serious.
So, wait, if almost half the population isn't secure, what are we aiming for? The book tackles this myth of independence, you said. It argues that complete self-sufficiency isn't the goal. That sounds tricky. Isn't that just codependence?
That's a really important distinction they make. It's not codependence, which is like you can't function without the other person.
Yeah.
They call the goal beneficial interdependence.
Interdependence. Okay, what's the difference?
It means having a reliable partner, someone who acts as a safe harbor, actually makes you stronger and more capable out in the world.
Mm.
Paradoxically, being securely dependent allows you to be more independent. It's a launch pad, not a weight.
Interesting. So where did all this science even come from? You mentioned Bowlby and Ainsworth.
Yeah, John Bowlby, he's kind of the father of attachment theory. He established the basics.
Yeah.
And then Mary Ainsworth, she did this famous experiment called the strange situation.
Right, with the kids and mothers in the room.
Exactly. And that really showed how it works. It confirmed that having a caregiver, or for adults, a partner who is consistently responsive and available, creates that secure base. If that base feels reliable, we feel safe enough to explore. If it's unpredictable, well, our whole system kind of freaks out. Okay. Panic mode.
Which leads to this idea you mentioned that I find fascinating, the dependency paradox. Because it really does feel counterintuitive, right? Society tells us dependence is weak.
Totally.
Yeah.
But the paradox is, having that secure base, that reliable partner you can count on, actually boosts your confidence. It makes you more independent, more willing to take risks, pursue goals. It's not a cage holding you back.
It's the launch pad.
Exactly. It frees you up.
Okay, let's make this more concrete. How do these styles actually look in relationships? Let's start with the anxious style. You said their system gets activated.
Right. When someone with an anxious style feels the connection is threatened, maybe their partner seems distant or pulls away, their attachment system lights up, this triggers what the authors call protest behaviors.
Protest behaviors. So these aren't necessarily conscious attempts to manipulate. It's more biological.
Often, yes. They're like these frantic, sometimes unconscious attempts to get the partner's attention back, to reestablish closeness. Think of the example they use, like Tammy. She might start texting or calling excessively, or keeping score. He hasn't called me back in X hours. Or even making threats, like hinting at leaving. But really, it's a desperate bid to provoke a response, any response, to feel connected again.
Okay, I can picture that. It sounds exhausting, honestly. Now, contrast that with the avoidance style, the Greg archetype, right? What's their reaction?
Their core fear is different. It's about being engulfed, losing your freedom or independence. So when intimacy deepens or their partner seeks more closeness, they activate deactivating strategies.
Deactivating strategies? What does that look like? Is it just pulling away?
It can be pulling away physically or emotionally, yeah. But it's often more subtle. They might suddenly start focusing on tiny flaws in their partner that never bothered them before, the way they laugh, their job, anything.
Nitpicking.
Almost. Exactly. Or they might withdraw after a really close moment. Or maybe they fantasize about an ideal ex, even if that relationship wasn't actually great. It's all about creating mental distance, suppressing that need for connection to maintain their sense of independence.
Wow. So you have one style desperately seeking closeness and the other actively pushing it away? What happens when they get together? Which, apparently, happens a lot.
Ah, yes. That's the infamous anxious-avoidant trap. And you're right, it's a super common pairing and often the most volatile.
Why do they attract each other, then, if it's so difficult?
It's like this. Magnetic pull. The anxious person's pursuit can initially feel exciting or validating to the avoidant, and the avoidant's initial distance can feel like a challenge or intrigue the anxious person. But it quickly turns into a painful cycle.
A cycle how?
The anxious partner needs reassurance, seeks closeness. That triggers the avoidance fear. So they pull back, use those deactivating strategies. That withdrawal panics the anxious partner, making them ramp up the protest behaviors.
Which pushes the avoidant further away.
Exactly. It's this self-perpetuating, exhausting roller coaster. And here's a key insight from the book. That intense drama, the highs and lows we sometimes romanticize as passion or deep love, often it's just the fireworks of this insecure dynamic playing out. It's instability, not necessarily deep connection.
That's a sobering thought. So is it hopeless if you're in one of these styles or in that trap? Can people change?
Definitely not hopeless. That's a crucial message.
Mm-hmm.
The book talks about becoming earned secure. Even if you start with an anxious or avoidant style, you can develop secure functioning.
How does that happen? Therapy.
Therapy can help, for sure. But it also happens through conscious effort, understanding your patterns, learning better communication, and maybe most powerfully, through being in a stable, responsive relationship with a secure partner. Those positive experiences can literally rewire your expectations.
So having a secure partner can actually help heal an insecure style over time, like the Jennifer and Tom example in the book.
Right. It takes time and consistency, but yes, the relationship itself becomes therapeutic.
Okay, so stepping back a bit, we've got the styles, the dynamics. If we zoom out, what are the really big overarching messages here? Why does understanding this stuff matter so much?
Well, I think theme one is huge. Dependency is biological. Not a character flaw, just really internalizing that. Our need for a secure bond isn't weakness. It's a fundamental biological drive, like hunger or thirst. Trying to suppress it is basically harmful.
That feels incredibly validating. It takes away the shame around wanting closeness.
Exactly. And theme two follows from that, decoding behavior through attachment. When problems come up, instead of jumping to blaming character, he's selfish, she's crazy, you start seeing it as a clash of attachment systems.
You ask, okay, what unmet attachment need is driving this behavior?
Precisely. Is it a bid for closeness? A defense against feeling engulfed? That lens shifts everything towards empathy. Suddenly, it's not a character flaw you're fighting, but a systemic issue you can potentially solve together.
That's powerful. And the third theme?
Theme three, the malleability of attachment. Yes, our styles tend to be stable, but they aren't set in stone. You can change. The focus shifts to building a secure, functioning relationship, regardless of where you start. The relationship itself can foster growth. It gives you agency back. You're not doomed by your past.
You can change your relational destiny. I like that. The book is just packed with these light bulb moments. Are there any specific quotes or core ideas that really jump out?
Oh, definitely. The way they phrase things is very memorable. One that really hits home is, "We are only as needy as our unmet needs."
Yeah. That reframes neediness completely, doesn't it? It's not who you are. It's a signal that something fundamental is missing. Meet the need, and the needy behavior often just fades.
Right. Then there's the secret to happiness is to acknowledge and honor our need for dependence. That's a direct challenge to that whole cultural push for hyper-independence we talked about. It's a maturity is actually about embracing healthy interdependence.
Accepting that we need others in a good way, in the last one.
Your attachment style affects everything you do and think in a relationship. It just underscores how pervasive this system is. It's not just about arguments. It influences your thoughts, your feelings, your choices constantly. It's the operating system.
You really can't escape it, so you better understand it. Okay, so this isn't just theoretical. How can people apply this knowledge, like right now?
Great question. Two big areas. First, smarter dating and partner selection. Seriously, use attachment style as a key filter. Learn to recognize the signs, especially the red flags for styles that clash badly with yours, like the anxious avoidant trap. If you're anxious, spotting avoidant pattern early can save you a lot of heartache. Adopt an abundance mentality, as they say. Don't get stuck trying to fix someone deeply incompatible.
So use it as a compatibility tool up front. What about if you're already in a relationship?
Then it's all about effective communication. The book offers specific tools. The main idea is learning to express your needs directly, clearly, and this is the hard part, non-accusatorily.
Right. So instead of the anxious person saying, "You never make time for me, you're always distant," which sounds like an attack,
which will likely trigger defensiveness or withdrawal.
You try something like, "I feel lonely when we don't have quality time scheduled. Feeling like a priority is important to me. Could we look at our calendars together and plan a specific night just for us this week?"
Exactly. See how that shifts it. It states the feeling, "I feel lonely," links it to a concrete situation, lack of scheduled time, expresses the underlying need to feel like a priority, and proposes a collaborative solution. It invites your partner in, rather than pushing them away.
That takes practice, I imagine, but it sounds way more productive.
It really is. It de-escalates conflict and focuses on meeting needs.
So as we wrap up, what was the biggest surprise or takeaway for you from digging into Attached?
For me, honestly, it's how incredibly validating the whole framework is. It just lets so much shame. Understanding that the need for connection is biological, not some personal failing. It allows you to approach relationships with more compassion. For yourself and your partner, it feels empowering.
Yeah, I agree with that. For me, the real mind blower was that realization about the anxious avoidant trap, that intense, chaotic, up and down relationship energy that feels like fate or chemistry. Realizing it's often just insecure attachment styles clashing, it really makes you reevaluate what passion means and maybe value stable security a bit more.
It definitely changes your perspective on relationship drama.
So a final thought to leave our listeners with, building on this.
Well, if the book is right, and having that secure base, that secure attachment, is actually the launch pad for greater independence and exploration. Maybe the question to ponder is, what bold thing, what ambition, what part of yourself could you finally pursue if that fundamental need for secure connection was truly met?
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.